All right. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Jennifer, and today I'm going to be talking to you about soil carbon in sandy soils across the world. So to start with, I just wanted to show an average sand content map of the world, with the lighter colors signifying more sand and the darker colors being more clay and silty. So you can see sandy soils are present throughout the world. There's especially a lot of sandy soils in northern and southern Africa, the Middle East, Australia, and there are some areas in northern Europe, kind of southern South America, and also kind of spread out in North America. So the main reason why we study sandy soils mainly because they are found throughout the world. They are widely cultivated. Like in Wisconsin, we have the Wisconsin Central Sands where we grow a lot of potatoes. They also are known for having low water holding capacity and retaining low amounts of nutrients. There's two main reasons why carbon is important. The first one being climate. The climate kind of affects how much carbon can be sequestered into the soil and how much of it is also emitted. Carbon is also important because of productivity, because it helps increase the structure of the soil. It can help prevent erosion. It also gives plants nutrients. It helps with infiltration and available water capacity. The two main objectives for this morning's presentation is just to summarize carbon concentrations in sandy soils around the world and to assess them based on soil order, climate, and land use. So for this review, we looked at five different databases, the first one being ISRIC. We also use APHIS, NCSS, the Australian Coalition, and the Canadian National Pedon Database. And the main attributes that I'm going to talk about today are going to be soil carbon, CEC, and bulk density, but we also looked at other properties such as topsoil depth, texture, and pH. So for the soil profiles, we only focused on the A horizon, specifically in the top 30 centimeters, and this did not include transitional or combinational horizons, just strictly A horizon. The soils had to have a minimum of 85% sand content and less than 20% carbon content. We kind of assume that if a soil had more than 20% carbon, it could have been more of a histosol region. And like I said, we analyze these by soil order, by climate, and land cover. And so in total, with the five different databases, we have approximately 1,300 pedons that we extracted data from, and about 1,500 soil layers, which each layer is just an A horizon. And the map shows where all of the data came from, so we're able to see a lot of it came from North America, as well as kind of the central and southern part of Africa, and also eastern Australia. So like I said, sandy soils are found throughout the world, and these are just examples of how different these sandy soils can be, the first one being in northern Thailand, the second one in Africa, and the third one in Germany. So the sandy soils are not, they don't all look the same, they look very different where you are. So the first graph I'm going to show you is based on soil orders, which we picked the dominant eight soil orders based on the data we collected from the databases. And then carbon is in grams per kilogram. For here, we were able to see photosols had the highest carbon concentrations at about 23 grams of carbon. And septosols also had pretty high carbon concentrations around kind of 18. And then we see that the alphasols, entosols, kind of oxazols, and aridosols were all under 10, actually coming in a little below 8. So you're able to see photosols kind of held on to the most amount of carbon, while some of the newer soils and aridosols held on to the least. We also split it up by climatic region. And here you're able to see that the soils that were in the cold and the temperate regions held on to significantly more carbon than the drier and tropical areas. For the dry regions, they were able to hold about 2.5 grams, and the tropical was closer to 7. And then the cold and the dry were able to hold about 18 grams, which is significantly more. We also looked at carbon with mean annual precipitation and mean annual temperature. I know there are a lot of different symbols up there, but the common trend for mean annual precipitation is that there is a kind of a quick increase in carbon content with an increase in precipitation. And then once you got to about 15 to 2,000 millimeters a year, the carbon content quickly decreased. And same thing with the mean annual temperature, you're able to see that there is an increase, but then once it gets to about 20 degrees Celsius, it seems to drop off. But also looking at the graph, a majority of the data points are also below about 50 grams of carbon, so a lot of these soils don't hold on to a lot, but we do see some soils that are able to hold up to about 20% carbon. So for land use, we split it up into agriculture, forests, grassland, with grassland being primarily cattle fields, prairie, and shrub. Overall, we notice a lot of the carbon is being, or there's more carbon in the forested areas than in any other land cover. So kind of to compare soil carbon to some of the other properties we were also looking at, for carbon in CEC, you're able, on the graph on the left, you're able to see we were comparing entosols and spodosols with the CEC in carbon, and both of them, when there is an increase in carbon, there is also an increase in the CEC. And then when looking at it under the land use, we saw the same trend under forest. And then when looking at bulk density and carbon, we kind of see the opposite trend in septosols, spodosols, and ultosols. So when there's an increase in carbon, we also see a decrease in bulk density. So to kind of summarize the whole presentation for the soil orders, the spodosols had the most amount of carbon being held, and in septosols also had a high amount, while soils that were alfasols, entosols, oxisols, and especially iridosols did not have really high carbon concentrations. We also noticed that the CEC increased with an increase in soil organic carbon in entosols and spodosols, and we noticed that bulk density decreased with an increase in carbon for septosols, spodosols, and ultosols. Based on climate, the temperature or the temperate in the cold regions both were able to hold on to about the same amount of carbon, and it was significantly more than those soils that were found in the tropical and the dry regions. So the carbon content did increase with an increase in mean annual precipitation up to about 1600 millimeters of rain a year, and then it decreased, and same thing with the temperature. There was an increase until about 20 degrees Celsius, and then there was a sharp decrease. And then based on land use, the forest did hold significantly more carbon than any of the other land uses we looked at. And we also did note that the CEC did increase with an increase in carbon in these soils under forest. And for that, I'd like to say thank you for listening to my presentation, and if you have any questions, please ask.
So in one of your graphs, you showed that the polar soils had the lowest carbon in comparison to cold regions. Why was that?
There were only three paddons that we found that were sandy, so there just wasn't enough data. So ideally, I would like to see that polar soils would be able to kind of hold on to the most, especially since that was the trend for the cold region. But since we have so few data points, we can't really say anything about the polar region.
Great. And it would be really meaningful if you can also calculate the uncertainty that you might have in your calculation.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's definitely something I can consider.
Interesting data set. Thank you. I'm wondering, you made comments related to sort of carbon versus insulated properties, bulk density, kind of exchange capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, we would, I would tend to assume that the kinds of observations you made on a few soil orders might hold more generally. Did you not see the same trends when you analyze the data set as a whole? Or are you having postulations as to why those decreased bulk density, increased CEC are only associated with those carbon soil orders?
The soil orders that we did for bulk density and CEC had the strongest trends. When you look at the data set as a whole, it was kind of messy because there were so many different data points. So then I started analyzing them separately to see if there were differences between soil orders, and those were the soil orders that we were able to see the best trends. A lot of times when we looked at like alpha sols or mol sols, we didn't see as good of a trend as those. So those we just wanted to pick out since they all kind of followed the same pattern.
Thank you.